Border Patrol agents might start choosing their own work hours and have some other flexibilities. A new bill from Senator John Tester would also create different rules on overtime pay for agents at Customs and Border Protection. Sean Moran is vice president of the National Border Patrol Council. He says if CBP can keep its personnel costs low enough, it can keep the border fully staffed at all times. Sean, thanks for being on the program this afternoon. The 2013 Border Patrol Agent Pay Reform Act is something that Senator Tester has been pushing for a while, and he's spoken about it on this program. What are the details that are especially pertinent to the folks that you work with?
Well, this is a response to not just sequestration, but the investigations into the use of administratively uncontrollable overtime. And that's the system that Border Patrol agents have been using since the early 70s to staff the border. And unfortunately, at the beginning of sequestration, our agency used that as political cover to reduce the amount of manpower and the number of agents that are out in the field while simultaneously cutting agents' pay. And that was due to a lower budget for salary. We've had an exponential growth in agents over the past 15 years. But we did not have enough money to continue to pay them at the full 10 hours plus that agents normally work.
The concept of AUO, as Senator Tester explained it to me, makes a lot of sense. If I'm scheduled to be off the clock at X o'clock, whatever time it is, and I'm out chasing the bad guys or serving a citizen that needs my service, I don't want that guy or woman on the border either tapping his or her watch and saying, well, I can't keep going. I'm done for the day. That's the way it was explained to me. Is that also your view of how AUO works? And is that the reason why the flexibilities that are included in this bill are so important?
The easiest way to understand AUO is if a Border Patrol agent was working and they were doing something that if they stopped, it would be considered negligent, then that qualifies for AUO. The problem lies in the fact that our strategy is based on deterrence. Now, is it negligent if somebody is sitting out there and they may be keeping somebody out of the country just by their very presence? If they leave, it is considered, I would consider it negligent if they left, but under the way AUO is written, they're not allowed to use it for deterrence and for waiting for their relief in terms of a shift change. The shift change is considered regular and recurring and should be able to be scheduled for. But because we didn't have any alternatives for a pay system, AUO has been used for the shift change. And I think while it might not be legal in the letter of the law, it's legal in the spirit of the law because we all want our borders protected. And that's why the Border Patrol and Congress have looked the other way for so long. But now, you know, we realize we see the writing on the wall. There needs to be a pay system that is strictly legal in every sense. And the Border Patrol Pay Reform Act seems to be the solution and the one that all sides are willing to go with.
Your group's president, Brandon Judd, was quoted in GovExec saying that Congress should authorize the Border Patrol to spend less money on personnel. Doing so would enable them to be fully staffed at the border. That seems a little counterintuitive on the surface, so I'm obviously missing something.
Well, obviously no Border Patrol agent, myself included, wants to take a pay cut. But we know the two options that are before us. We have the Pay Reform Act, where we would lose $6,000 to $7,000 on average, because with AUO comes the Fair Labor Standards Act pay. And that seems to be the real problem for CBP. They claim that they cannot budget for that amount. We think there's a solution there, but we've gone forward, and this is where we're at. The other alternative is to decertify AUO for every Border Patrol agent in the country and to go to a system where CBP would then designate overtime money in areas that they feel qualify for it or need it in terms of operations. Our concern with that is you would have many different sectors that would have huge gaps in coverage because agents would only be working 8 hours. In some places like California, Arizona, Texas, some of those sectors, they drive 2 hours to get to the border. So you would then have three times a day, you would have a four-hour gap in coverage. Almost half the day, you would have no Border Patrol agents in some of these areas. That's unacceptable to us. And just looking at the northern border, those agents would never see anything beyond 8 hours, and we believe that's a security risk. So this gets more people out there because even though we lose the $6,000 to $7,000 per agent, that is about $100 million a year in savings to the taxpayers, and it gets us back to the full 10 hours that agents have worked for almost the entire history of the U.S. Border Patrol since 1924. And so that is the most important thing, is that making sure we have that full staffing to prevent people from coming across the border.
Sean Moran's vice president of the National Border Patrol Council. Senator Tester says, and a lot of members of Congress agree, that his bill is one piece of this. What are some broader reforms that your organization would like to see, maybe that are required legislatively and maybe that are just policy decisions that can be made at the DHS or the CBP level, to improve the working conditions and working lives of your members?
Well, the pay reform is number one. We want to make sure that we have full staffing, and that also with it brings pay stability for agents. They're not living under the annual threat of having AUO decertified or hitting an earnings cap and then not being allowed to work the full shift. Some of the other things we're looking at, as evidenced by the crisis in South Texas, we obviously have some serious policy issues that need to be fixed in terms of catch and release and also catching juveniles and family groups and then allowing them to walk out the door or be reunited with family members here in the U.S. We believe that is fueling that crisis in South Texas. So we need to see some kind of consequence when you break the law, and not just have our border enforcement be window dressing. It seems neither side of the aisle really wants to take border enforcement seriously. Everybody talks a good game about it, but we want to see some actual concrete actions.
Because we do hear in this town quite often, Sean, secure the border and so on and so forth. And my sense from what I hear anecdotally, and you certainly are much better connected to your members, is that not a lot of that really trickles down to the southern border. And now I hear more about the northern border, too. Not that there's any crisis like we're seeing in Texas right now, of course. But we've always just kind of assumed, well, everything's fine up there. And that's not necessarily the case.
No, the northern border is definitely an area that we could see exploited. Luckily, we haven't, but that is a huge fear for our agents, and it should be for every American. Both sides are responsible for this. This isn't just President Obama. We saw the same type of activity under President Bush, where our enforcement activities have been curtailed. We've had extra layers of bureaucracy thrown in there, and that's just not the way it should be. If we really want to make a dent into illegal immigration, we need to get serious about workplace enforcement and have prosecutions of people that are hiring illegals in this country. If we know that an illegal alien cannot get hired and not get a job in this country, they will stop coming. And then that will allow us to actually focus on the people that are still coming across the border, because then we will know they are up to really no good.
Sean, I'm going to go back for the minute or so that we have left to the administratively uncontrollable overtime issue. And you outlined the choices that are before you. It doesn't sound like you're wildly crazy about either one, but you certainly voiced your opinion about which would be the better strategy. Do you have a sense, based on not just your knowledge of the border issues and the personnel issues, but of watching Congress, of where you expect to see this go, or is this still so early in the process that it's hard to say?
Well, it has moved out of committee, and we were hoping it was going to get to the Senate floor prior to this recess, but that didn't happen. We're hoping to see it get voted on the unanimous consent calendar on the Senate side. We're not sure that will happen, but we do have cautious optimism that we can get this done this congressional term and hopefully get full staffing back out on the border, because that's the most important thing to our members.